Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And our text for this, the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from Paul's epistle to the Romans, the 10th chapter. We're going to read the first 13 verses of that chapter. That's Romans 10, 1 through 13, where we read in the name of our Lord. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, so your promise is. And that's all there is to it. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. There are many difficult things to accomplish in this world. Some of them are fraught with extreme difficulty and hardship. Salvation isn't one of them. And that's precisely all that Paul is trying to say. He says very clearly, sounds this clarion to understand. He speaks of his own people from whom he came. And when he speaks of Israel, he's not talking about a geopolitical hunk of land. He's talking about a group of people, wherever they were throughout the dispersion. And he says very clearly, he says, my heart's desire for them is salvation. He says, that's what I care about. Now, when we go through, we can see that Paul really took it on the chin a number of times from his own people. They beat him up. They did all sorts of nasty things to him. They tried to kill him. They did all sorts of things. He turns around and says, I don't care. He says, I don't care about that. He says, my only desire, the only thing that I care about, the only thing that I want, he says, is that they would be saved. He says, because they've gone down the wrong path. He says, they have a very strong zeal for God. They're very, very religious. He says, very, very devout. He says, but they don't understand this basic point. It's just not that hard. He says, it's just not that hard. He says, righteousness is a gift. He says, and it's freely given. That's the hardest thing that we have to understand as human beings. Righteousness is a gift. It's a gift. And it's freely given. It's freely given. We sit around and think, well, no, I got to work really hard. I'm making myself more righteous. Well, good luck with that. Righteousness is freely given. It's just freely given. And that's why Paul says this. He says, they didn't understand God's righteousness. They didn't understand the thing. And righteousness, that's one of those big words that we throw around in the church. We have this jargon all the time, you know, we use those words. Righteousness just means to be right. It means to be upright. It means to understand very clearly that now you are right before God. You are justified. Another word we throw out there all the time. You're justified. Well, what does that mean? Well, you've been declared just. And you can sit there and say, yeah, but I'm a big-time sinner. And yes, that's very true. Nobody's going to argue with you except God. God says, I don't know about your sins. God says, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I have cleansed you from all of your iniquity. That's righteousness. You have been declared just, right, because of the blood of God's own Son. And the purchase price of your peace is in that amazing sacrifice that God sent his only begotten Son into this world for sinners, to take sinners and by his blood to cleanse them and make them to be pure and holy in his sight. And Paul says, that's what I wish my people understood. He said, but instead they went about to establish their own righteousness through the law. He says, they tried to figure out a way that they could make themselves righteous through the law. He says, they went through this whole thing of trying to do that. And he says this great statement. He says, Christ is the end of the law. Christ is its end. He is its fulfillment. There is nothing of the law that remains for a human being to fulfill. It's impossible for a human being to fulfill anything in the law. And you remember St. Peter when he came into the Galatian churches. St. Paul says, I opposed him to his face. Actually, literally in Greek it says, I got in his face. Because he was trying to go back under the law. In saying very clearly, well, no, you know, I can't eat with you Gentiles. I can't do these sort of things like that. I can't do this sort of thing. Paul stood up to Peter and said to him very clearly, how can you do that to these people? He says, we ourselves couldn't keep the law. We who were good Jewish people could not keep that law. And now you're going to put that burden on other people? No. You are not going to put that burden on other people. And no one can put that burden upon you or any other person. Because Christ is its completion. He's the end of the law. For whom? For all of those who believe. Because the children of Israel, as the scripture says very clearly, are not by the flesh. They are not by the flesh. The scripture says very clearly, they are by faith. It's the faith of righteous Abraham that makes Israel, not birth. And Paul says very clearly, he says, this is exactly what we see played out in the scripture. Moses says that righteousness, the righteousness which is of the law, he says very clearly, it's understood as being this, the one who does them, that one will live by them. He says, but the righteousness of faith is very different. He says, now it's a very different thing. He says, the righteousness of faith says, don't say in your heart, who's going to go up into heaven and bring Jesus down? He says, and the righteousness of faith says, who's going to descend into the deep? Who's going to go into the abyss, the netherworld, and bring Christ up again from the dead? No one. And that's precisely the point. And no matter how hard we would try, no matter how zealous we became, no matter how much we tried to do, we couldn't bring him down from heaven. We couldn't bring him up from the dead. The only thing that ever did that was God the Father. God the Father sent him from heaven under the law. The scripture says, born under the law. For what purpose? To redeem us from the law. And so Paul says, and we saw this earlier in this book, if you try to live under the law, you're going to do what? Die. You are going to die. You will die. But he says, if you will believe, if by the grace of God you will believe, you will live. And you will live forever. Forever. You will live. You will live. So might as well get started now. You're living by the grace of the living God. You are living. Living. You are the offspring of the Most High God. You have been purchased with His blood. And if you believe, because you believe, it's a done deal. It's just a done deal. It is freely given. He says, and that's what I'm telling you. He says, if you confess with your mouth, he says, this word that's near to you, it's always present with you. And to make sure it's always present with you, God saw fit not only just to give us Jesus, but he gave us the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit would be that confession for us. The Holy Spirit would constantly bring that word to us. He says, this word which is now near you, in your mouth, in your heart, he says, that's the word of faith. And he says, and that's all that we preach. Yes! That's all that we preach! My gosh, we have wasted our breath for so many years on other stuff. For what purpose? Paul says, that's all that we preach. He says, we preach this word of faith. It's it! That's it! That's the whole deal! We preach this word of faith that you would know, that I would know, that each and every one of us who needs to know that would know it, and we would live. We would live by the grace of God. And he says, because if you confess the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, in other words, he did all the work, is what he's saying, you will be saved. You will be saved. He says, because it's with the heart, from this inner being, that a person believes and they find righteousness. And he says, and it's with the mouth that a person speaks this word. He says, and that confession is salvation. And he says, because the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be ashamed. He says, because there's no difference now. He says, there's no difference. He says, it doesn't matter if you're born a Gentile, if you're born a Jewish person. He says, it doesn't matter. He says, the same Lord is rich over all. He's rich over all. And he says, and he's rich to all of those who call upon him. And then he says this great thing. It's about as easy as it gets. Doesn't get any easier than this. He says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. No, I'm serious. Whoever does this will be saved. Will be saved. Will be saved. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. There's no condition to it. There is no other thing. And that's the gospel. That's the gospel. That's what we preach. That's all I got to say to you. After 40-some years of doing theological studies and doing all these sort of things, I'm right back to where I started. It's just the easiest thing ever. It's just the easiest thing that there is. Call upon the Lord. You call upon the Lord. The Lord says, in the day of trouble, you call upon me and I will hear you. I will hear you. We don't realize how dearly God loves us. We keep it as like an abstraction. Well, yes, that's nice that Jesus died on that cross. But we don't realize Jesus died there for you. He died there for you, and he died there for me, and he died for every person. He was willing to do that because he loves us, because he so purely loves us. And by his grace, he chose to save us, sinners though we be. In the depth of our sin, as this book says, while we were yet sinning, is what that says in Greek. Christ died. For whom? For the ungodly. It says, for the ungodly. Because so great is the depth of God's mercy. And so incredible is the depth of his love. And he says, so you just call upon me. He says, you call upon me. You call upon me. Today, if you don't feel worthy, you're right. You're not. That should not be a revelation. You're right, you're not. But by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are restored and made pure and holy, and you are more than worthy to stand before him, and he will receive you as his very own. He has anointed you through the blood of Jesus Christ, and he has filled you with the Holy Spirit of God, so you may stand in his presence, redeemed in the blood. And you have peace. Peace. So stop trying to get it. Don't make it hard. It's easy. It's freely given. And it's to be freely received. So freely receive it. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all iniquity. And we are freely received for his sake. To the glory of God the Father, who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. If that doesn't put a smile on your face, I don't know what will. I give up. Because it's just freely given. It's God's gift to the world. And it's ours. It's ours. That's the gospel. That's why it's the gospel. It's good news. It's good news. All to the glory of God, through Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, to whom be all glory, honor, and praise forever into eternity. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, no human being could ever come up with a plan like this, because we simply are not that gracious. But you, Father, you sent your only begotten Son to take away our sin, that by the power of his blood, you would cleanse us from all of it. And Father, you would simply grant us to receive salvation freely for Jesus' name's sake. And Father, we know that it is hidden in Jesus Christ that we approach you and you receive us as your very, very own, because so deeply have you loved us. And Father, we know that's our desire for all people. As Paul says, for Israel, that's his desire. That's our desire for Israel too. So it's very clearly that understand, that's his desire, and that was his desire to go out into the world, that people would freely know, and it didn't matter how he has suffered for it. And Father, we can't care how we suffer for it either. We've got to care enough and love your world enough to persist in the truth and hold on and keep bringing that word of that gospel, understanding we don't change the message ever. We simply proclaim that wonderful word of salvation, that yet still, while it is day and while we may walk, that word would go forth with might and power to fulfill its purpose. And Father, we pray for your world, that people yet still would be brought to repentance and come to the knowledge of the truth. And we pray, Father, for those of us who have done that, that, Father, you would continue to enrich us and strengthen us through your Holy Spirit to be able to carry out that mission. And, Father, we pray that in all things your name would be hallowed and glorified. For Jesus' name's sake. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of this Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.